Hey there, I want to take a quick second to thank you for listening to the Focus Point podcast. I hope that you find a blessing and encouragement through this episode. I hope that you'll share the episode with your family and your friends. If this is one of your first times catching us, or if you want to find out more about us, or if you want to listen to other episodes, please visit thepointoffocus.com, and there you will find our podcast archive as well as more information. Once again, that's thepointoffocus.com, and once again, I thank you for listening to this episode. Well, this is a big moment in our Journey to the Promised Land series, as we are a month away from finishing the series. And for those that have journeyed through the entire series, congratulations, good job. For those that might just be picking it up now, hopefully you'll go back and check it out. So a little bit about where we're going. We've got about 3 weeks left in the Strong series that we're in the book of Joshua. So this episode, and then there's three more after it. And then we're going to do a final episode for the Journey to the Promised Land series, where we're kind of going to just look back and talk about a few things, closing out the entire Journey to the Promised Land series. And then we'll be doing a Christmas at the Movies series, which I'm excited for, as we've done an annual at the Movies series. But if you've been around a little bit, you might have noticed we didn't do it this past summer. And so we're doing a Christmas at the Movies series, which I'm excited about. But if you have a copy of the Bible, you can go ahead and open it on up to Joshua chapter 9. We'll be in Joshua 9 and 10. We're going to be just telling the story that happens in Joshua chapter 9, so you can open it up there and just kind of use it as reference as I kind of summarize and paraphrase what's going on. And then we'll dive into a little bit of chapter 10, and we'll be in Joshua chapter 10, verses 1 through, let me see here. Oh, that's chapter 9, that's why I can't find it. Verse 13, we will be there, verse 14, 15. Okay, so Joshua chapters 10, 1 through 15 is where we'll actually be reading from. Sorry, a little bit of a blunder there, but that's all right. And so Joshua chapter 9, as we enter chapter 9, we've discovered that the Israelites have been very powerful and conquering as they go take over these towns. They did it with Jericho. They've done it with Ai. And so as chapter 9 opens, we see in verse 2 of chapter 9, it says, "These kings combined all their armies to fight as one against Joshua and the Israelites." So all of the people across the land now are coming together because Israel has become so powerful. And as we've read in the book of Joshua in the past, they're afraid of what God has been doing, that God is with Israel, and that Israel is just marching through this land that God has given them, and they've taken over all of this land. And so they are diving in to try and take them out. But the Gibeonites are the topic of this story and the verses that we're going to read in chapter 10. They resort to deception to kind of try and keep them safe. So they go to the Israelite camp to speak to Joshua, but they lived close by, and they decide that they're going to load up their donkeys with kind of old tattered stuff. They're going to wear old clothing, worn out bread, moldy and worn out bread and all of that stuff. And they're going to go to Joshua, and they're going to try and deceive him into helping them. So when they get to the Israelite camp, they stand before Joshua and told him they had come a long way. And they showed Joshua the old wineskins and the other stuff that I mentioned. They also pointed out the nature of their clothes and the sandals they were wearing. They asked Joshua to make a treaty with them because they had heard about Jericho and Ai and how Israel had wiped them out. So Joshua listened to them and makes a treaty. However, he doesn't ask the Lord what to do. So he doesn't ask, he doesn't like inquire about God. And that stood out to me. And this is kind of some new notes and some old notes, but he didn't inquire that God, and it says that in verse 14. It says, so the Israelites examined their food, but they did not consult the Lord. And then Joshua made a peace treaty for their safety. And so 3 days, then we get into verse 16, and it says, after making the treaty, they realize that they live close by. They realize that they've been deceived. And then he makes them servants of Israel, which we see in verse 27. Verse 26, it says, so Joshua did not allow the people of Israel to kill them, but that day he made the Gibeonites slave woodcutters and water carriers for the community. So kind of like slaves. And that's what they do to this day. So that's kind of, that's what they're doing this time. That's what it means to this day. And that doesn't mean like now, currently. It means there, when Joshua was writing this stuff down, that's what it means. And so the first thing that kind of comes out here is it's about deception. And when you're going to your promised land, or you're in your promised land, or whatever it is, and you're going through all of this stuff, and you're trying, people will try to stop you. And that's the thing, like when you get to your promised land, people will try their best and their hardest to deceive you, to try and take you out. And that's just the truth. And that's not only the people that we come into contact with. People are always wanting your spot. People are always wanting your job. People are always wanting that kind of stuff. And some people resort to deception, to lying, to cheating, to stealing, and all of that in order to get what they want, in order to keep you down and all of that. And so, I mean, we see that. I'm going to reference Daniel, because Daniel just comes to mind as I'm sitting here talking, right? Like, he was gaining popularity with the king, and some of the king's men didn't like that. And so they made a decree. They said, oh, make sure that anybody that prays only prays to you, because they knew Daniel's habits. They knew what Daniel did. Daniel prayed to God 3 times a day, every day, in this big window in his house. So the people that told the king to do this knew exactly what they were doing. And they said, and if anybody's caught not praying to you, throw them in the lion's den. So they kind of backed the king in the corner. They used deception to get there. They used lying and cheating and all of that to try and take Daniel out. And that's what, to be honest, that's what people do nowadays. There's one other person that does it, and that's the devil. The devil does it to us as well. The devil tries to take us out. That's his sole purpose, his sole goal is to take us out. We see that at the very, very beginning. In this series, we talked about it. The deception, the lying, and the cheating that he did to hurt Adam and Eve's relationship with God. Adam and Eve had a choice in it, of course. But his goal in that conversation, you won't die. God just doesn't want you to be successful. God doesn't want you to know stuff. He's keeping things from you. And all of that kind of stuff, it's there. It's not verbally, it's not in scripture there, but you can just read the pulse of what Satan is saying to Adam and Eve. And we see the enemy do that to us. Jesus tells us that the enemy's sole purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's all he wants for us. That's all he wants for us, is to just take us out. And as we see here in the in this story with Joshua, is that that's the goal here, as these armies are banding together to try and take out God's people. That I said it in the second episode of this series. People are afraid of the moving of God. People are afraid of people taking their spots and doing all of this. We can plug it all in however we want, but the overall idea is people just get afraid. And the devil is afraid of us. That's why he wants to steal, kill, and destroy us. That's why he wants us just not to succeed. He wants to keep us where we're at. He wants us to keep backpedaling and keep kind of like that pendulum swing kind of thing, where we go forward, but then we go back, and then we go forward, and then we go back. That's why we've talked about in this series, and what we've seen overall, is to go with God and trust God that he's got what's best for us, and keep taking steps toward us. Because the best thing that we can do to help the devil is to sit right where we are in anything that we're doing. And so it's just what we get, what I see in this story, in this part. So the Gibeonites kind of used deception here. And this is the same thing that it was. And I just want to say, too, deception isn't a part of who God is. Being deceived, being lied to and cheated and all of that, that is not anything of God. That is all the work of Satan. So now as we move along here to chapter 10, we're going to see an event that hasn't taken place ever since then. And it's a very interesting event, but it shows something that we've talked about and it just bears repeating. And I like it when it just, we see the same things and we can repeat it. It's almost like God knows we need that reminder over and over and over again. So we see here in chapter 10 that the Amorites had heard about Joshua and the battles with Ai and Jericho, and that they made a treaty with the Gibeonites. So the Amorites assembled an army and went and attacked the Gibeonites. So let's pick this up here in chapter 10. And it says, Adonai Zedek, the king of Jerusalem, heard that Joshua captured and destroyed Ai and killed its king, just as he had destroyed the town of Jericho and killed its king. He also learned that the Gibeonites had made peace with Israel and who are now their allies. So now we've got that going on. So what happens? He and his people became very afraid when they heard all of this, because Gibeon was a large town, as large as the royal cities and larger than Ai. And the Gibeonite men were strong warriors. So they heard about this and they became afraid. And I think it's a twofold afraid. They were not only afraid, or even threefold. They were afraid because Gibeon was big. They were afraid because Israel had been doing some stuff like that. And Israel had also been traveling with God. And so it just kind of goes back to that God is fighting for them. And it's making everybody afraid. So King Adonai Zedek of Jerusalem sent messengers and several other to several other kings, and there they are right there. It says, come and help me destroy Gibeon, he urged them, for they have made peace with Joshua and the people of Israel. So the five Amorite kings combined their armies and united in the attack. They moved all of their troops to one place and attacked Gibeon. The men of Gibeon quickly sent a message to Joshua. Don't abandon your servants now, they pleaded. Come and save us at once, for all the Amorite kings who live in the hill country have joined forces and attacked us. So Joshua and his entire army, including his best warriors, left Gilgal and set out for Gibeon. Do not be afraid of them, the Lord said to Joshua, for I have given you victory over them. Not a single one of them will be able to stand up to you. So Joshua traveled all night from Gilgal and took the Amorite armies by surprise. The Lord threw them into a panic, and the Israelites slaughtered a great number of them at Gibeon. Then the Israelites chased the enemy along the road, killing them along the way. As the Amorite king retreated down the road, the Lord destroyed them with a terrible hailstorm from heaven that continued until they reached there's that word. Fun thing about the Old Testament is there's a lot of fun words to try and say, and if you you kind of can trip over them, so there you can read it for yourself. The hail killed more of the enemy than the Israelites killed with a sword. On the day the Lord gave the Israelites victory over the Amorites, Joshua prayed to the Lord in front of all the people of Israel. He said, let the sun stand still over Gibeon and the moon over the valley. So the sun stood still and the moon stayed in place until the nation of Israel had defeated its enemies. The sun stayed in the middle of the sky and did not... The sun stayed in the middle of the sky and it did not set as... is set on a normal day. There has never been a day like this before or since when the Lord answered such a prayer. Surely the Lord fought for Israel that day. Then Joshua and the Israelite army returned to their camp at Gilgal. Now, what's going on here? We see it. There hasn't been a day sets, right? I mean, the sun rises and sets. I don't know if God would answer a prayer like that. Don't make it night. Like, I don't know. But basically what it says is God answered a prayer. God answered the prayer, and it showed that not only that God answers prayers, that God is with us always, just like he said to Joshua, but he's also fighting for us. We talked a little bit about this last week. He's fighting with us. He's fighting for us. He tells us how to do it. And the thing is that we have to be willing to do our part as well. But this is just always a good reminder. God fights. When we think that we're not able to handle a situation, when we think that we're not, when we don't have the ability or we don't, whatever it is, we know that God is whatever we aren't. Okay? God said in the book of Exodus, and we probably talked about this a little bit back then, but that was several episodes ago when we talked about Exodus, when we talked about Moses. And I don't think it fit then when we were talking about how Moses, but God told Moses, when Moses is like having his questions, right? I mean, like we all do. Like, are you sure? Like, God, show me, like, Can you help me out? I mean, Gideon did it, like in the book of Judges. Gideon's like, okay, can you make the ground dry and the sheepskin wet? Okay, now can you do the opposite? Right? We do that. And so Moses is having his moment with God, and in Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, in that kind of area, Moses says, well, who should I say sent me? What should I say to them? And God in Exodus 3, 14 and 15, God says, I am sent me to you. That's what God told Moses to say. And when I see that, I am has sent me. Before God told Moses that, like I said, he'd been listing excuses. And God replied with powerful words, I am. And I'm sure, well, what if the Amorites heard us? What if, like, all this, I am. God says, when we aren't strong enough, God says, I am strong. God says, I am enough when we say we aren't enough. When we say we are all alone, God says, I am with you. When we say we can't do it anymore, God says, I am fighting for you. God says, I am with you. God says, I am for you. This is what God does for us. And we've seen it throughout this entire Journey to the Promised Land series. We've seen it throughout this entire entire book of Joshua so far, how God has been with them. And the Bible has been clear to tell us that the Lord was with Joshua. And when we looked at the book, when we looked at the Joseph story back in a series we called Dreams, God said, the Bible says that the Lord was with Joseph and he succeeded in everything that he did. God says, I am, when we say we aren't. We go with God and God helps us. That's who God is. And we've seen it here. I am with you. I am for you. I am not against you. All of these things that God was telling Joshua, that God even told Moses. God was telling Moses this back before he even started. And then he told him at the Red Sea, you know, the Lord will fight for you. And we start piecing all this together. And it's just an amazing revelation here. As God looks at us and he just keeps telling us, I am with you. Take that next step. I am with you. Take that next step. I'm here to help you. I'm here to pick you up when you fall. And I don't know who needs to hear that today. There's a lot going on as of this episode's recording. There's a lot going on in the world as of this, even of the episode's release. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of commotion. There's a lot of chaos. And God is with us, though. And we're coming up on a series in a few months where we're going to look at that. And we're going to look at all of this stuff that's going on, and I'm excited for that. But right now, where we're in this space with God. And I've wrestled with what's going on currently with Israel and with all of that stuff going on. But I just feel like God wants us here, because God wants us to know that He is with us first before we start talking about all this other stuff and we start doing deep dives into that. God is with us. God is for us. God is fighting for us. God is fighting with us. God doesn't leave us alone. God is always present. God is always there. He's not going to change. And like I said, I don't know who needs to hear that in the midst of all the commotion. And as I said a couple weeks ago, life is loud. This world is loud, and we have a God that talks in a whisper. We need to find that whispering spot. Maybe that whispering spot is turning off the phone, turning off the TV, turning off the news, wherever you get your news, and just shutting down the chaos for a little bit, and so we can hear what God says. Because I believe that God is constantly always whispering to us, you know, I'm with you, I'm for you, I'm going with you, I am with you in the valley, I'm with you on the mountaintop, I'm with you where you're going. We talked about that before too, how God is before us and behind us. God already knows where we're going, and He's right there with us when we turn around. He walks beside us. And so I'm hoping that this finds you well, and I'm hoping that this encourages you and that it blessed you in some kind of way. Because when we look at these stories, this Old Testament especially, can be kind of hard. How do we see what God wants us to do in a story of war and battles and all of this stuff? Well, this is what God shows us, is to have strong and courageous faith. That's what God is showing us throughout these first few stories of the Old Testament. We're kind of going to take a shift now as we see that all the battles are starting to pay off. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to revisit one other thing that God kind of repeats again. And we're kind of going to bring this series to a close. And like I said, in about 3 more episodes, we're going to kind of tie this off, and we're going to move on from this journey. And I hope that this journey has been just as helpful to you as it is to me, because I've read these books of the Bible, and maybe you have too. But as I've said, I think that we see new things and we experience new things when we read the Bible during different life seasons, or when we put on a different lens, like we put a word on it, like focus, or like our word journey. So how do we journey to our dreams and our goals? And how do we do that? And we read these books of the Bible, and we can see those things come out, because that's what God has given us a focus for. And so I believe that about the Bible. And I know that might be controversial to a lot of different people, and some people might not agree with all of that. But I believe that there's one meaning to the Bible, of course. But I believe that if the Bible is said to be, by lots of people, including myself, that it's God's way of speaking to us, then it should speak to us at whatever level it is, whatever level we're at, whatever experience we're in, whatever we need it to speak to us. Of course, there's deeper meanings to it, and that involves studying and diving into it deeper and having conversations and all of that, of course. I'm not saying that the Bible has multiple meanings and can mean anything to anybody. That's not it. It's true. The Bible has a meaning. But also, too, the Bible is alive and it's active. And we can find stuff in Joshua chapter 10 that will help our life now, will help our life tomorrow, will help our life in 30 years. Because that's God's word to us. And so I just hope that this stuff has encouraged you. And as I said last week when we talked a little bit about that, getting into the Bible a little bit, because it's God's battle plan for us. I think that when we dive in there, like, choose a word like help or something. Put like a focus yourself on something, and then read what God tells you to read, and it'll drastically help you. So I hope that this reminder helps you, that God is fighting for you, that God is with you. When you say you can't, He says I am. And I hope you'll come back next week as we continue on the last few episodes of this series. So remember that. Remember it. When you can't, God says he can. When you aren't, God is I am. See you next week.